talk to you now concerning the steps in Route 1, continuing with these steps on Route 1-8. Here we have, in exteriorization, the main difficulty on the part of an individual in perception. He believes that it is dangerous to look. This is his main reason for not seeing. He believes that it is dangerous to hear, which is his main reason for not hearing. Actually, there is a slightly better reason than these two main reasons. The main reason is he's a problem to himself if he can't see, and he's a problem to himself if he can't hear, can't smell, and so forth. We learned that under two-way communication, didn't we? Well, he turns off his perception, and this makes a very, very nice problem. And under Route 1-8, however, we discover most patients have gotten into a condition where they believe that it is now so dangerous that it ceased to be any kind of a problem. It's just simply very, very dangerous to perceive anything. And so this is simply a process which, when the individual is exteriorized, gets him to change his consideration. You must realize that on somebody exteriorized, all you have to do is ask him to change his consideration, and he is then capable. He can change his consideration that he is capable. He can change his consideration that he isn't capable. Actually, aside from coaxing him to deal with energy masses and perceptions, the only process there is to clear is asking him to change his mind. That's all the process there is. He changes the consideration. We drag him out of the field of mechanics, in other words. As soon as we've got him out of the field of mechanics, why, he processes simply by getting him to change his mind. If a Thetan exteriorized cannot change his mind, he is still very, very enmeshed in the whole theory of mechanics. And being enmeshed and immersed in mechanics, he feels that these mechanics are going to smite him one way or the other. The biggest deterrent to somebody getting into this state is fear of the environment and the energy masses and spaces contained in it. That is the biggest deterrent to his changing his mind. As an individual gets smaller and smaller and goes on down the dwindling spiral, he believes that exterior forces are more and more dangerous to him. Now, the saw, which is inserted at this point, is really more of a saw than an axiom. Man believes, man is as sane as he believes himself to be dangerous to his environment. That's a very low-level look, isn't it? But he is as sane as he believes himself dangerous to his environment. That's very true of man. So this is Dianetics, mainly we're talking about when we say man dangerous to his environment and so forth. People come up through a tooth and claw strata before they get up into a sanity. All roads lead through force. That is another saw. All roads lead through force. Anybody who has seen the now non-extant lecture charts of the Philadelphia 64 hours of lecture will recall that one of the last lecture charts there has a big force inscribed in the middle of the chart, and then low-level aspects of the chart of attitudes are below this huge word force, and the high-level aspects above the chart of attitudes are above this word force, and let us say distrust is below force, you see, and trust is above force. But to get from distrust up to trust, it is necessary to cross the bridge of force. If there's any bridge involved here, anywhere in Dianetics or Scientology, it is a bridge called force. An individual believes that forces are greater than himself. He believes he himself cannot cope with the forces around him. And we discover that an individual is very prone to believe that all forces are greater than he is. Actually, he would never have to be afraid of force at all unless he himself were being a mass of some sort. Force can only impinge itself upon mass of one kind or another. A Thetan either mocks up a little piece of mass to receive sound waves and so hear, or he is no mass at all, the sound wave goes straight through him. Well, he could do either one at will, so he could hear or not hear. There isn't any mechanical action, by the way, to hearing, really. One simply postulates that he hears, and he hears, and he postulates he doesn't hear, and he doesn't hear. That's about all there is to that. But as long as he's down below force, as long as he feels that he is oppressed by the enormity of space, by the savageness of electrons battering him, by explosions and so on, as long as he feels that he can be injured by force of any character, why, you will find him below this level of force on this chart. He believes all force is dangerous to him. He does not believe that he himself can emanate force which would be dangerous to anything or anybody else. Now, the only reason a word or symbol has any effect on somebody is because he's below the band of effort. Now, similarly, the common denominator of all people who are having any difficulty in life, similarly, that common denominator is inability to experience effort. In other words, they can't work, they can't play, they can't move, and so on. They're afraid to experience effort. In other words, force is outside someplace threatening them. Now, the only reason a symbol has any effect upon an individual, for instance, the only reason you could criticize somebody and have him feel bad about it, is because your verbal criticism is associated by him with times when he has been hit, invalidated. Now, invalidation, criticism, the lowest level, then we get outright overt invalidation, and then right above that, we get this more understandable thing of the lightning bolt. See? And a fellow could only take criticism to heart if he were afraid of lightning bolts. You see, he's got a symbol of force. If he's afraid of criticism, then basically he's afraid of force. Invalidation converts immediately, as you come upscale, into force. Invalidation means to be hit. But if you could impress somebody by invalidating and telling him he really didn't think that or he really didn't believe that something, it's because he's afraid of being hit, you see. And he associates the little criticism that you give him or the contradiction that you give him with force. He has been taught to avoid. And when even a symbol of force shows up, criticism, he then backs up. So he is below the force band. He is actually in conjunction with a body which is extremely liable to wreckage by reason of force. He's extremely tender. A body goes 2 miles, 3-4 miles in the air, starts to notice it very badly. If it went 10 or 20 miles up in the air, it'd probably die. I mean, it can't survive up there. If it went 5 miles in toward the core of Earth, that isn't very far. You know, if Earth was reduced to the size of an apple, you wouldn't be able to find 5 miles thick with a microscope. He goes down toward the center of Earth just 5 miles, and it is much too warm and intolerable. The body is a frail mechanism, mainly, and he is trying to protect this body. And so as he is protecting the body, first he'll eventually start hiding the body, by the way, but if he is protecting the body, he is protecting it from what? He's protecting it from space, from force, you see? And Phaeton gets himself associated with the body very thoroughly, and thereafter he becomes afraid of force because he knows the body can affect force. Nothing can affect a Phaeton. Remember this, nothing possibly can affect a Phaeton. As a matter of fact, as ultimate effect, he cannot be affected. As ultimate cause, he actually cannot himself be an energy bolt. He can only say he is. And here we have cause and effect, and as far as a Phaeton is concerned, or awareness unit is concerned, he would be at either end of this line, and he would have to have some kind of an energy mass in at both ends of the line in order to be cause and effect, you see? There'd have to be some energy in there someplace. Well, he'd have to be protecting or holding on to that energy. He would have had to have postulated that he was some section of this energy to be affected or actually to begin some type of cause. In order to be thorough cause, for instance, he could postulate a bolt of energy out in front of him, but he would have to postulate also that he was connected with that to even get the idea that he was being affected by it. One of the most difficult things a Phaeton faces is really trying to affect another Phaeton or to be an effect himself or to actually overtly discover the cause of anything. You see, the cause, the real cause of anything has no mass and so can't be located in space. All right. So this Phaeton must have postulated that he was something, that he's being something, before he can be the effect of force. You follow that now? overt motivator phenomena, all these other things can only take place if the individual has postulated that he is something that can be the effect of force. And so, one of the best ways I know of, if somebody has a very poor perception, one of the most effective things that you can do with him to improve his perception is just ask him, look around you and find something that's safe for you to look at. Well, what is there in this room that's safe for you to look at? Just so long. Oh, and suddenly Satan, they'll finally opine that there probably is a dust particle under the couch that it would be really safe for them to look at. Ah, but that's an improvement. Find something else that it would be safe for you to look at. Something else would be safe for you to look at, and get an answer each time from him. Something else would be safe for you to look at. Something else would be safe for you to look at, and do you know the environment becomes plainer and plainer. And now you could go out the same line and you could say, give me something now, which would be safe for you to hear. And he'll get a condition or a concept at first. Well, somebody could say hello to me, you know, or good day, or how are you? That would be safe to hear. He means the idea would be safe to pay some attention to. You want a beam of energy or something that would be really safe to hear. But you just ask him this and he'll improve his consideration. The simple auditing command is, give me something which would be safe for you to listen to. That's how he's exteriorized, you see. Now, you could run this process interiorized, too, you see, but it really is a Route 1 process, an exteriorized process. Give me something that is safe for you to look at. Now, there's straight wire questions which are used on an interiorized basis. What wouldn't you mind looking at? You see, that's the same sort of thing. What wouldn't you mind listening to? What would listen to you? What wouldn't you mind looking at you? Something on this order will produce a considerable change on somebody, whether he's inside or outside. But the basic question of R1-8 is, now you tell him, now look around. Now what is it safe for you to look at in the environment, your surroundings here? And just get them the name, item after item after item after item. Now what is it safe for you to listen to? And if you want to go the rest of the way on perception, what would it be safe for you to smell? What would it be safe for you to taste? You see? And he gradually has to improve his consideration, and he realizes that he can experience force, that there aren't forces immediately surrounding him here which are going to murder him, mow him down, blow him out. A lot of people, the first moment they exteriorize, will hear the auditor's voice while exteriorizing. It will scare them half out of their wits. They will go back inside, boom, you see, and then you have to dig them out again. That hearing something outside is very startling to them. That's because you're asking them to take on more than they can. You've got to let a Thetan learn that he can safely experience any force phenomena in this universe before he will cease to be trapped in the universe. As long as he is going to be afraid of force phenomena in this universe, he is going to be trapped in this universe. Do you follow me? The only way you make him trapped in anything is getting to be afraid of the force phenomena. The greatest thing a Thetan is afraid of course, is unknowns. But that's also taken up in Route 2. He's afraid of not knowing. But then afraid of not knowing is the consideration back of the consideration of force. Okay, now you understand this Route 1, Part 8? Good.